creates a role for financial institutions different than any other third party that's subject to a subpoena, and that it's contrary to more protective of those third parties than the provisions in the existing Oregon Rules of Civil Procedure, namely Oregon Rule of Civil Procedure 55B, subsection 2, which says in essence that if there's a subpoena, the court can, somebody can file a motion to quash the subpoena, and the court can condition the denial of that motion on the grounds that the person on whose behalf the subpoena is issued paid the reasonable cost of producing whatever it is that's going to be produced. There is a reasonable amount of case decisions under the federal rules. As far as I know, there are no published Oregon decisions under the Oregon rule. The federal rule is worded exactly the same, and there are a number of factors that the courts have suggested be taken into account in determining whether a third party ought to bear the cost or whether the person subpoenaing the documents ought to bear the cost. And I want to make reference to a couple of cases relatively briefly. One of them is a case called United States versus IBM, which probably everybody has heard about in the colloquial sense as the government's antitrust suit against IBM on monopolization in the computer industry. That case was in the courts for a number of years before, if memory serves me right, the president of the federal administration dismissed the case. In the course of that case, a fair amount of discovery was done from third-party computer companies, and the judge who had the case, a judge named Edelstein, who was the chief judge of the Southern District of New York, said basically that the computer companies who were subject to these third-party subpoenas and had to provide records and other information were going to have to bear the cost. And the reason he said that was that even if they didn't have an interest in the litigation, that they had an interest as a member of the public, because this was not simply a private enforcement suit or a suit between private parties to resolve personal grievances, but a major antitrust suit brought on behalf of all the people. And he also questioned whether they were really as unaffected by the case as they claimed, because if they were members of the industry, the ultimate outcome of the case might affect their competitive position in the industry. Another case of importance, I think, in the interpretation of the federal rule and therefore the existing state rule is United States versus CBS, which was a case, another government antitrust case against the television networks, having to do with, if I understand the facts correctly, the distribution of movies, because the parties that were the third parties in that case were several of the major movie industries. And in that case, the Ninth Circuit Federal Court of Appeals, that includes this part of the country, said that they would not adopt specific guidelines with regard to reimbursement or non-reimbursement of third parties or non-parties subject to subpoenas, but suggested that there were several factors that trial courts ought to consider in their discretion. That would include the scope of the discovery, the invasiveness of the request, the amount of work that would be required separating relevant from non-relevant materials, and the reasonableness of the cost. Both of those cases suggest, and there are also some cases that bear somewhat more on the question of government agencies that come up in the tax subpoena question, that under some circumstances, financial institutions and other institutions ought to bear some costs of complying with subpoenas as a cost of doing business or a cost of being a citizen in the society, and rather than having them reimbursed by the party that's subpoenaing the records. there are a number of instances in which it would be appropriate for the party that's subpoenaing the records to pay the costs. I know there's litigation in our office where we're subpoenaing records from a third-party non-financial institution where our client has agreed to pay the cost of production because it didn't seem reasonable not to. And I assume that in many instances that those things are worked out on an informal basis between the people seeking the records and the people who have the records. The problem that I have with the bill as proposed is that it, rather than leaving it in the discretion of the court to decide in view of all the circumstances, this bill makes it mandatory that the cost of production be paid by the party seeking the records. And beyond that, that it simply does it for a single industry, financial institutions. What I would, as far as the third party subpoena, to summarize my position, I think that the committee ought to leave the situation as it stands, and recognizing that ORCP 55B already addresses the question, and that unless there's the committee finds, and I'm unaware of any evidence that that's been misadministered or otherwise presents great problems, that we ought to stay with what the council and court procedures devise, what's in the federal rules, the federal system provides for, rather than coming up with a special bill for one industry. Now, with regard to the state and local agencies, obviously there's already been a legislative judgment, ORS 192-550 at sequence, that financial institution which has records which are being subpoenaed, which are, excuse me, if a state or local agency subpoenas records from a financial institution that deals with an individual customer, that that agency will have to pay for the reasonable costs. That is, I think it's up to you as a legislature or as part of the legislature to determine whether you think that is an appropriate judgment. There are a number of cases, as I alluded to earlier, which indicate in the federal context, these are primarily in the context of IRS subpoenas, that financial institutions would simply have to bear those costs as a cost of doing business and spread them over their customers as generally costs are spread, rather than imposing them on the government in getting the records. So what seems to be the leading case is a Third Circuit decision called United States versus Friedman, in which the court recognized the general kinds of expense that several banks in the either Pittsburgh or Philadelphia area incurred on an annual basis, but said that they would only allow a district court to impose those costs on the government if it made an individualized determination that the cost in complying with the summons in question exceeds that which the respondent may reasonably be expected to bear as a cost of doing business. And as I said, it seems to me that's a legislative judgment. Much of this is of what, when we get down to the specifics of reasonable costs, assuming that costs are to be imposed mandatorily or some of the time, if you want to put some numbers on it, I think our legislative judgments as to whether financial institutions and other third parties should bear some of the costs themselves or whether they should pass them all on to the litigants. I think that the legal system that presently operates imposes a lot of costs on third parties. Yeah. Subpoena a witness in a case and you pay them $5 for an appearance fee and for a day plus 8 cents a mile mileage. Those are undoubtedly substantially unrelated to those people's actual costs, and that is however how the system presently operates. It seems that the judgment that's implied there is that some of the costs are to be reimbursed, but not all of the costs. Is essentially a sharing process between the people who have some role in the litigation and therefore are asked as citizens to assume those costs, and the parties who are asked to pay people to some extent for their time and their effort in participating and helping them out in the case. I think that the figures in the bill, assuming that you get to the point where you wish to consider the figures, namely what reasonable costs are defined in Section 2 for personnel, reproduction, and travel expenses, that you need to, whether those figures are appropriate or not depends on whether you feel all costs ought to be reimbursed or whether there ought to be some kind of sharing. I am gathered that one of the reasons why Representative Springer's office contacted me is because our office, through its litigation, has some information on bank costs, most of which are somewhat out of date because of the nature of litigation. You end up looking intensively at things that happened by the time you do complex litigation several years when the case is filed, when it goes to trial. So I know a lot right now about bank costs in the period in the 1970s, and I think I can go forward into the present. It would seem to me that $10 an hour for personnel costs would probably, assuming that the personnel are essentially clerical personnel, cover everything that under cost accounting refers to as a fully allocated cost theory could be allocated to a person. That is not simply salary and fringe benefit, but also institutional overhead and similar factors that, and from an accounting perspective, could appropriately be charged to that person. So if you made the judgment that all these costs ought to be borne by whoever subpoenas the records, then that figure seems to me to be appropriate. If there's going to be some kind of cost sharing between the parties, then it would seem to me not to be appropriate to set the personnel cost at $10 an hour. The federal cases that I have seen have generally reimbursed on hourly salary basis for people who have hourly salary and have not reimbursed for overhead costs, fringe benefits, and similar costs. I imagine that reproduction costs, at least from what I know from what our firm does about using third parties who commercially reproduce, that those are high. I know that lots of institutions bill their reproduction costs at 15 cents or more, but if you go out on the market, it seems like you can get 5 or 6 cents a page rates. And I imagine that is probably the reason why oftentimes law firms and others bill at 15 cents a page, is because they're counting personnel time as well as actual machine costs. So I think that's probably a cost that you'd want to reduce if you get to that point. Travel expenses, it seems to me it would be inconsistent to give particularly one segment of society, financial institutions, 20 cents a mile when you subpoena somebody to appear at trial or appear for a deposition, they get 8 cents a mile. Obviously, what I've raised in some respects may lead you to inquiries beyond what this bill presents. You may decide that some of the costs that are suggested here are more reasonable than some of the reimbursement rates that presently exist. You may decide present rates are correct. You may, depending on direction you go, but at least it doesn't seem to me to make sense for there to be a different reimbursement rate, say, for travel expenses here than in a subpoena for somebody to appear at trial.
At this point, I'm going to ask Mr. Burroughs to join us at the witness table, and we'll take his testimony, and then we will have questions for the committee.
Mr. Chair? Mr. Burroughs, coming up, I just want to share a note with the committee that I had received from Mr. Olson, and I believe it was on behalf of the Oregon State Bar. And this was after the first hearing, and he indicated that Mr. Atchison, who is Board of Governors of the State Bar and a public affairs liaison, who's appeared here on a couple of occasions, wanted me to know, and I shared this information, and I'm quoting, the bar now opposes this bill, and anything else that puts more financial burden on litigants basically. And apparently, Mr. Atchison might have been prepared to testify, but I believe that his concerns would reflect those that have been reflected by Mr. Goldsmith. I don't know if Mr. Goldsmith's here today or was going to testify on this, but that's an earlier note that I'd had.
Barrows?
Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, Dave Barrows, Director of Legal Financial Institutions. With your permission, Mr. Chairman, my counsel... May my counsel join me, Mr. Bronner?
Legal.
Thank you. No, not legal counsel. Three or four or five thoughts, I guess. Number one, the committee will remember when we testified on this bill before, Mr. Chairman. I understand. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That we cited the case of the attorney who came into Beaverton SNL, said, here's $5 in the subpoena, I want every record on the history of Mary Smith for time immemorial. And when the suggestion was made by the institution that perhaps it might be reasonable for the attorney to perhaps offer to pay just a tiny bit more than the $5, the response was, we'll sue you, we'll have you in court for contempt if you don't get this stuff out right now. Since I appeared before this committee, Mr. Chairman, a new interesting fact situation, which I shared with you this afternoon, has come to light. An attorney inquired of an institution for all the records on Mary Smith. An employee of that institution spent an hour and a half searching the records for Mary Smith's records. Could not find anything on Mary Smith. Not a thing. Called the attorney's office to make sure that the name had been accurately conveyed to the institution, and was told by the attorney's office that, we didn't need all the records, really. All we needed was a current address for Mary Smith, and we've already gotten that. Thank you very much anyway. When the institution suggested that maybe that was sort of an unreasonable kind of a cavalier attitude to take, they were told that that's just the way it goes. The attorney didn't have the courtesy to call the institution and tell the institution, we found the one piece of information we wanted during the period of the time you were making this extensive search for all the information. It turns out, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, that Mary Smith never had an account at this institution. But for $5, why not take a fishing expedition? And that's what they did. Now, we can talk about cases from the Third Circuit and whatever about sharing costs of providing information for innocent third parties who have no interest in the case. And this bill makes it very clear that if the institution is a party to the litigation, none of this applies, as it should. I don't know how long ago those cases came down, Mr. Chairman, but the figures that are in this bill, as you well know, come right out of Regulation S of the federal code that specifically mandate these numbers. And when IRS comes to a financial institution, these are the numbers they shall pay. That's the law today under federal agency inquiry, especially IRS. And all we are asking, Mr. Chairman, is nothing more than the federal rules, Reg S, permits. And we don't think that's an unreasonable position for us to take. It's all right.
Mr. Bronner.
Mr. Chairperson, members of the committee, I'm Frank Bronner with the Oregon Bankers Association. I'd like to add a couple thoughts to Mr. Barrows. A previous witness talked about sharing and talked about a clerical personnel at $10 an hour, and perhaps that was that was enrichment. I can tell you, I've been on the firing line as a bank officer. You don't have clerical personnel do this. Ultimately, someone probably will appear in court. It's going to be a bank officer. You're going to make sure that it's accurate. As a matter of fact, normally the normal procedure is to have two people check each other to make sure that the records are appropriate. As I testified previously on this bill, we, the Oregon Banking Association, didn't like this bill because now the law says reasonable costs. And As a matter of fact, the previous witness testified that there was no litigation in Oregon. Well, I can assure you there will be. The witch hunts are running rampant, $1,800 bill in Medford, $5 reimbursement. You can't expect a financial institution to bear those costs forever and be quiet. Now, another thing that was mentioned, that this separates financial institutions, makes them different than others. Well, we are. As a matter of fact, we carry the financial records of oil companies, of grocery stores, of a whole host of our customers. And we are different, and we admit that. But I would say that if the number of subpoenas and the number of searches were the same at the grocery store, you'd find that they'd have a problem with this, too. This is a problem that this legislature needs to address. And House Bill 2667 is a reasonable approach to that address.
Let me just ask Mr. Goldsmith the question. Suppose, what is your response to the argument that certain government agencies, rather than perhaps because there's no financial incentive to be careful in terms of trying to limit their request for documents of a financial institution, that they impose an unnecessary cost on that financial institution?
I imagine that in the nature of things, there are probably some government agencies that do that. Just as there may be some banks that if they know, or financial institutions that if they know the costs are going to be reimbursed at $10 an hour, are going to spend more time than they would if they weren't sure of that, if they weren't sure that they were going to get paid. Just as Mr. Barrows has indicated, there are some attorneys who engage in behavior that is, I think we all agree is indecent in the examples that he gave. That may be a reason for having everybody bear a portion of the cost to try to keep everybody from behaving less unreasonably.
Are you suggesting then that perhaps if this bill was amended to include only these, I like to call it Xeroxing rather than reproduction costs, but Xeroxing costs, maybe not at 15 cents a page, to make this bill less onerous?
My concerns primarily are not with the rates, although it does seem to me that reproduction costs ought to be closer to what the market rate is, or Xeroxing costs. But I think that there also ought to be some room for discretion. Where the bank is, where anybody is, a third party that has nothing at stake in litigation, and where there's going to be hundreds or thousands of dollars of costs in looking for records, I think there's a pretty strong argument under the federal cases and under the existing rule that they can refuse to comply with a subpoena unless the costs are paid, and the court would grant that. But I don't think that it ought to be automatic, because I think there are circumstances under which they may have some interest in litigation, or where the costs are going to be relatively small, or because of the nature of the litigation and the need for the records that the court would feel would be fair and equitable that they bear the cost.
Let me just, before I recognize Mr. Barrows, I'm trying to get an answer here. Now, let's say it was even 2 or 3 or 4 cents that the financial institution could charge. Was that a yes or a no?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear all of your question.
Let's not talk. Let's say that it's decide that 3 cents per page is a fair reproduction cost. As a policy, and this bill was limited to that area, you think that's fair? As a policy, yes or no?
let me make sure I understand. Are you saying that if the bill simply dealt with reproduction costs?
Right.
And set a figure on what reproduction costs would be?
Right. So we just get down to the policy question, yes or no? That's what I'm trying
to do. Right, I understand what you're trying to do.
Yeah. If you want to say I don't know yet,
yeah,
come back to me
that
next week, that's fine. But probably,
yeah. I think it would be fair for the legislators to set something like 5 cents a page as a cost if reproduction costs are appropriately awarded. I'm not sure that I would agree that under all circumstances, although I would agree under most circumstances, that third parties should be reimbursed for reproduction costs.
Mr. Burroughs.
Could I ask a question about your question, Mr. Chair?
Sure.
Is that
maybe? I have a rule here about you guys asking questions.
For clarification purposes only, not for policy, Mr. Chair. Thank you, sir. Are you, in your question, Mr. Goldsmith, are you asking whether or not the reproduction on, let's say, on lines 20 and 21 and sub 2 be 5 cents and number 1 and number 3 be dropped out of the bill? Is that what your line of question was?
Essentially, yes, but I'm just curious if we can, trying to elicit a response in terms of the policy of whether it's a third party or government, whoever, they ought to be able to charge a nominal amount to help cover the cost of Xerox.
I guess the fundamental question in this whole thing, Mr. Chairman, boils down to whether or not we ought to have a procedure where if the institution wants to, in effect, challenge the $5 offer, tender, they have to hire an attorney, get out and quash, or move to quash, and go through that exercise, or whether it's reasonable for the parties that are having the litigation, not the financial institution, has no stake in this at all, but the parties that are having the litigation, let them pay the costs. That's the, I guess, the question. And whether, I mean, Mr. Goldsmith makes it sound like such a nice, simple little system, to hire an attorney, go out and quash, and plead to the court for reasonable cost. Well, I would suggest that that's a pretty inefficient system for everybody involved if you're talking about $50 or $100 worth of costs, i.e. the case of the hour and a half of time spent when it turned out the attorney had no idea if anybody had ever had, Mary Smith had ever had an account at this institution.
Maybe, and I appreciate the problem you mentioned, Dave, and I think we'd all agree that that conduct goes close, if not actually reprehensible, but couldn't that have been solved by a little bit better screening by the bank at the front end?
Mr. Bronner can hardly wait to talk about that more.
And I realize we're never going to be able to legislate against unreasonable people, but that's...
Can I respond only to say that I think people will be more reasonable if, in fact, they know they're going to have to pay some costs. I think it will dramatically limit the scope of inquiry. They will say, could we have the records of Mary Smith from September 1982 to May of 1983, which is the period they really care about? But now the easy, quick way to do it is just say Mary Smith. Everything you've ever had on Mary Smith, every deposit slip, every check, what difference does it make to the attorney? As a matter of fact, what happens is if the financial institution calls the attorney and says, do you really need all of Mary Smith's records forever? Or is there a specific period of time which you're really focusing on? And the attorney, in most cases, will say, well, yes, it seems to be more in this area.
Mr. Bronner.
Mr. Chairperson, members, maybe Frank Bronner. I want to make sure that I want to address the question. But the reproduction cost, I want you to read the rest of that line. We don't have any longer paper files where we go to the file and pull out a piece and run to the copy machine and say, here. There is the microfiche process, and that's also part of that. We're not. I know film is separate, but the microfiche, the reader and printer, is included. And that's an expensive process. It takes an operator. Now, we would encourage anyone, the attorney, the state agents, if we could just have a conversation about what they really wanted, we might eliminate and screen out the fishing expedition. We printed a brochure 3 years ago, provided it to every state agency. Some of them still use it. And the first instruction on there, this was how to get records from a bank and save money. Because we had problems with state agencies saying, I can't afford these reasonable costs. So we told them the steps to go through, and many of them have said it has saved them a ton of money because it says contact the bank, talk about what you're after, and we can help you zero in on it. Now, I will tell you that one of the problems we had originally in looking at the Oregon League of Financial Institutions bill is this will reduce costs that some banks are now considering reasonable. Not every bank in this state is on a computer. That may surprise some people, but I can take you to a bank that is still hand-posting. Now, you try these reimbursements and make them reasonable over in Eastern Oregon, and it will take weeks for them to comply with certain